I don't know if you heard it, but Alana's, oh, thanks.
That was Gleeson. Oh, Alana.
I was looking down and I thought, sorry, Gleeson.
I threw my voice. Thanks.
Give me some cred.
Can we start that over again? Can we just play the intro? We won't. We've got the three biggest stories of the day so far.
Yeah. How about we start with the good news for South Australia? And two of our beautiful hotels, the Louise in the Barossa and Southern Ocean Lodge on KI, have received some pretty impressive accolades.
Yeah, they're the only properties named in Travel and Leisure magazine's top 100 hotels in the world out of Australia. The only two that we've got. Two South Australian ones.
Yeah.
47 and 53 respectively. It's the fifth time for the Southern Ocean Lodge. And they've only been open for 10 years, so it's a pretty amazing accolade. And to know that, you know, all these lush joints in New South Wales and Victoria and Dalesford
and
Queensland.
You know, on some of the islands.
No.
Amazing.
Absolutely amazing.
Them.
Great honour for South Australia.
I haven't stayed at either. Very happy to do so, though.
I've seen photos of the Southern Ocean Lodge.
Yeah, it looks magnificent. The position.
Yeah, so I must get down
and
there.
It's not cheap, obviously, but once you get there, you have pretty much free run in the cellar.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
Pick your bottle.
Beautiful. I love it.
I go back. So you actually,
look,
you
you're
go
not
in.
Drinking the Penfolds Grange, but they have some beautiful wines there and you drink as much as you like and you go into the cellar and you pick your bottles.
Blow the dust off him.
She was right, yeah. I was going to say, did I have that written on my forehead? Like, really that much? That's incredible. And congratulations to him as well.
Absolutely.
That is a feat and a half.
Well done.
Second story in the top three this morning. Who's got this one? Because I've left my notes outside.
Well, speaking of pretty impressive, Venus Williams, 37 years old, headed into Wimbledon, of course, off the back of involvement in a fatal car accident, which she's been cleared of any wrongdoing in, but that would have been quite traumatic
Absolutely.
To go through and so public. After 8 years, she is back in the Wimbledon final.
Just unbelievable. What an amazing athlete. What a strain of DNA the Williams sisters have. And we were talking about it before. Both totally different body shapes and builds, but both amazing performers in the arena. And congratulations.
Power. So she will face the Spaniard, Garbiñe Muguruza, who's the 14th seed in the final. And because Venus is obviously such a popular figure, I think that's probably softened the blow that it was a Brit that she beat
semis. She was the only only female Brit who's made it through since 1978, I think, to that far.
Wow. So. Yeah, so they wouldn't have been impressed, especially losing Murray as well. So she won that semi-final 6-4, 6-2. And it's really just quite the renaissance that she's enjoying after, of course, making the final of the Australian Open as well.
Yeah,
an all Williams sister final. So very, very impressive, Venus Williams.
Absolutely.
You mentioned Andy Murray. Did you see what happened at his press conference?
Well, he was sticking up for the chicks, was he?
Yeah.
It was more of a correction. This is what happened post-game.
Sam is the first U.S. player to reach a major semifinal since 2009. How would you describe I beg your pardon?
Male player, right?
Yes, first male player. That's for sure.
That could have gotten ugly very quick.
Oh, suddenly, everyone's got to have a tag attached to them, have they? Male or female? I don't care. I don't notice whether people are male or female. I do. I'm lying.
Then the statement's incorrect. if we're not noticing.
He was right.
He was clearly pissed off about losing as
well. That's right. That's what it was. He's just gone, I don't care. I don't care to ask and answer any of these questions anyway.
It sounded like Brian Johnson from ACDC.
He's grumpy at the best of times.
Third story, I have no idea. I mean, I've heard of Bastille Day, but I have never really bothered to check what Bastille...
participate. It's the French National Day.
I participate. I got a ton of ribbons at home that already say I'll do that.
It comes from the French Revolution when they stormed the Bastille to take back all the power from the royal family.
Have you seen Les Mis?
Like Les Miserables.
No, because people said they sing all their dialogue. And they kept going, people kept going, do you know that they actually sung it for real? And, like, they actually sang it for real?
And anyone who's ever heard 30-odd foot of grunt or The Ordinary Fear of God, starring Russell Crowe, the man can't sing. God bless him. God bless him. He can act. He can act and he can pay for a band and all that stuff, but he can't sing or write a song. So there's my little thing on it. But well, Bastille Day?
Yeah. Look, it's a beautiful day and there's ways to celebrate it in Adelaide if you're interested. The Central Markets, they've got some French cooking classes. They'll be showing the Tour de France on screens. There's a beautiful little bar in the city, in the CBD. It's called La Buvette. I went there a couple of years ago for Bastille Day and it's quite the celebration.
They have crepes on, je voudrais un crepe. That's, I'd like a French pancake, please.
You two would be great on SBS. Let me say that. You have rattled through the Wimbledon names and now this is just ridiculous. So effectively, can I just say, is it like France's version of
Australia Day.
Or St. Patrick's Day in Ireland. Yes. Or, okay, gotcha. Well,
just
I'm in.
But slightly more sophisticated.
They do it with a little more sophistication.
Yeah. Well, just dress in some blue, red and white, you know, streamers and eat crepes. Drink some French champagne.
Pop your beret on. Off you go.
I've got a beret. No, it's not a beret. Don't say that when people can't see.
It's clearly a tico's.
You should put it on at a jaunty angle.
Anyway,
one reason we're talking about Bastille Day is because Donald Trump has done it again.
He's the man who keeps on giving.
Oh, no, really? What's he done?
Well, he's met up with the French president and his wife, and he's had a little exchange with the French president's wife.
You mean this one? Now, he has said that really, really quietly, so I didn't want anyone to hear, but what did he say?
That just sounded like muffled jumble.
Did.
He has said to Brigitte Macron, the president's, or the French president?
The French president.
President's wife, yes. I just couldn't remember if it was president or prime minister, that she's in such good shape. Beautiful.
She's still in good shape.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Oh, obviously, beautiful. If you don't know the background, kind of a controversial relationship coming in. Bridget is 64. Emmanuel is 39. So there's a
cradle snatcher.
Fair age gap there. But Donald Trump's picked up on it. And wow, he's impressed with the 64-year-old.
He actually looked like he was saying, yeah, I'd give that a run. That's what it looked
like.
Well,
he said it once to her and then he said it to him as well.
In a congratulatory way to the president. Yeah, good on you, mate. She's not a bad sort. Yeah. But no. Once again, his class is just epic.
Just inappropriate, Donald.
Just way too much info, Don. Way too much info. Triple M's ruined it for breakfast, 20 past 7. Mark Ricciuto and Chris Dittmar back on Monday. Until then, Dave Gleason from the Screaming Jets and Alana Smith. Last day of filling in, guys. Thank you so much for doing that. I'm sure we're not paying you handsomely. I will say, when the boys are back Monday, they'll be live from Darwin. Glee, so have you done many gigs up north in the Northern Territory?
Oh, I love it. It's like being in another country.
Really?
Yeah. Full of another country, full of Australians. But I've been on stage up there many times. I remember asking on stage one time, so who lives here in Darwin? And everyone, arr! I go, and who was born here in Darwin? No one. No one up in Darwin was born then. They're mostly fugitives, and they fled from something to head up to Darwin. But it's a top joint. The first thing that happens, you get off the plane without a word of a lie. It happens to me every time. I think, geez, I feel like a beer, and that's why they have those 2-liter Darwin stubbies up there. The beer tastes
they're
terrible.
Huge. But, the size is right.
Well, I'm going there for the first time today, so I'll let you know if that same experience happens to
you
me.
You might have to go to Crocosaurus Cove, which is pretty fantastic. We went in there when it was being built, and they have like some pretty amazing crocodile exhibits in live ones. They got an albino crocodile up there. So
I've heard a rumour that Roo and Ditz will be swimming with crocodiles next week.
Awesome.
We want them back, don't we?
That'd be something to see.
I hope so.
I reckon their aim should be to become a headline of the NT News.
Do crocodiles eat rangers or not? Is that not...
Well, they're not that fussy, are they? I think so. But it's true. Can you bring us back a newspaper just because the Northern Territory News have the best headlines that you'll find anywhere in the world?
Absolutely.
Period.
Yeah, they are very special. They seem to have poetic license to get away with pretty much anything. I've been looking up some of their best headlines. They've put a compilation of 35 of their best over the years. It seems to be a running theme of poo. They definitely like a headline. He left a dump instead of a tip. That was one cabbie's night out.
I love the byline. It says taxi driver's crap night out as a passenger offloads a massive steamer during.
This is the entire front page.
Front page.
The pugitive rebels bikey flees cops, lands face first in a pile of manure.
Sawtooth, which is about a cranky croc who steals a man's chainsaw. It's a photo of a croc with
like
a chainsaw.
An actual crocodile with a chainsaw in its mouth. And
so a lot of them have bylines, but this one just stands alone. Sexy granny drought up in Darwin. There's lots of grannies
grab a
up
granny
there.
Night.
There's
just
lots
not
of grannies
happening.
Up there, just not any sexy ones. That's according to the NT News.
I hope that's not the last headline we're going to end on.
And can I just, well, that's the last one.
Please, Alana, just one more, please.
Give me a minute.
Oh, God, we're stuck on a granny shortage.
I will give you a tip of a place to go if it's still there. Discovery Nightclub. The Screaming Jets have played there numerous times, and it is it's a big old joint, a few levels, pool tables everywhere, and it's a great place to get on it.
Yeah, we heard about your cab ride home. As a matter of fact, I think it was a headline, wasn't it?
Hey, I've got one, and I wish I hadn't have seen it. So the headline is, seen it, deadly snake on loose for a week in the cinema. My only fear in life is snakes.
Discovery Nightclub, brilliant. Cinema, don't even think about it.
Do not go there. You'll be attacked by a taipan.
Ruined Dits live from Darwin on Monday when the boys are back for breakfast on Triple M. Triple M's Ruined Dits for breakfast. The boys are back Monday, but they'll be live from Darwin after the Crows game this weekend. You can listen live, triplem.com.au.
Excuse me. Have you heard?
Psst. Hey, have you heard?
Have you heard?
Have you heard?
The Rumour Mill.
Now, while the boys are away, Dave Gleeson from the Screaming Jets and Alana Smith from never been a more important time to be from Channel 7, we might add.
She's our man on the inside, a woman on the inside.
Woman.
All right, so yesterday, guys, we were talking about The Front Bar, which is the footy show that I don't think was ever designed to tackle Channel 9's footy show, but nonetheless is going toe-to-toe with it in some instances, doing better than it. But there is one thing yesterday, as Gleesos are about to hear, that we're just not really happy with here in Adelaide.
Tonight, the front bar is going to be at 10:30
on 7 Mate.
You know, it's like, and as you say, it's actually going to take over. It will usurp AFL footy show. And to not be, you know, making as much of it can out of that is a very strange move indeed.
Echoing what a lot of people are saying at Triple M Adelaide on Twitter and our Facebook and people calling in. And it just so happens that one of our fill-ins works for Channel 7. Explain yourself, Alana.
I've had my ear to the ground, Hato. The hallways, there's been rumours, chatter at the water cooler. Oh. It seems like the campaign that the Triple M family has been running to get the front bar in prime time has worked.
You're kidding me.
It's amazing. So Ruin Dits, right? They call the shots for a lot of, stuff.
Weeks. Weeks.
And so we actually get to ride on their coattails. Even when we come in here, we got Paul and the family's got
Look,
Paul
it is interesting
7.
That our rant was yesterday and the action has been taken
absolutely
overnight. But what I can tell you, what I've heard, this is the rumour, that in South Australia, the front bar will air on the main channel of Channel 7 at 8:30 p.m. on Thursday. So that's a huge improvement from 10:37 Mate or even later at in other weeks.
Well, maybe that'll stop Sam Pang having so many pot shots at Roo.
I strongly doubt that at all. Sam Pang's very good. And
he's a classic.
I'm not sure if you ever hear it, but whenever you hear it, they play it back to Roo on the show. Sam Pang. You can kind of hear in Roo's voice a bit of a Yeah, like I'll be making
mind
a
wouldn't mind giving him a bit of a crack up the back of the head.
So there you go. Well done. And Alana, you can take credit for that because, let's be honest.
Why not?
Humble. Triple M's Roo and Dids for Breakfast. Triple M's Roo and Dids for Breakfast. The boys are back Monday after taking a week off. They'll be live from Darwin as well. In the meantime, Dave Gleason from the Screaming Jets, Channel 7's Alana Smith, and with a lot of runny noses and really, really red eyes, we thought we'd get an expert in to talk about what the hell's going on too.
Yeah, that's right. We're joined by Dr. Lane Hinchcliffe, our resident medical guru. Very good morning to you, Lane. There's been some concerning statistics coming out of Victoria, an 81% rise in confirmed cases of the flu this year. That's pretty worrying. And is it headed our way as well?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Look, it is certainly Australia-wide, actually. We've seen a definite increase in the number of reported flu cases this year compared to the same time last year. So the South Australian statistics, for example, as of a couple of weeks ago, showed that we'd had about 2,600 cases of influenza notified in 2017. Compared with this time last year, it was just over 900. So it's almost three times higher.
And what could be, is it people not getting vaccinated or is it a more virulent strain? What's the reason?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, look, every year we do see new strains of flu emerging and, you know, some of these can be a bit more aggressive. You think back to 2009 when the swine flu sort of had a peak at its head. You know, that was a very sort of prominent flu season all around the world. And I think as well, flu season seems to be changing a little bit. I mean, traditionally in Australia, we always said that flu season was around May to September. You know, some years we're actually seeing it peak a little bit later. And I think some of that is because of the fact that, I mean, worldwide, essentially at any one time, you know, there is a flu season somewhere. You know, in Australia, yes, we probably see it around the times when it's colder because a lot of people are indoors and spreading it. But if you go to the US or the UK, for example, it's a completely different climate and a different time when you'd see those peaks. But yeah, I think in general, it's still very recommended to get the flu vax. It's not too late and it's still available.
So you say it's not too late. When does it become too late?
I wouldn't say that it's ever too late, but the thing about the flu season is that, or the flu vaccination is, it's done to match the strains that we're seeing at any one time. So if you leave it until sort of the second half of the year, for example, sort of after September, October, you're less likely to get that protection that you would get if you'd sort of had your flu vaccination earlier in the year. So we tend to try to do it around March, April, because that's right at the start of when we tend to see some of those cases peak. And we are seeing a week by week increase at the moment.
And what are the simple things people can do to ensure that, you know, they kind of protect themselves as much as they can from getting the flu?
Oh, look, a lot of it's common sense. Obviously, just being wary that if you are sick, for starters, not, you know, coughing around lots of people and just being a little bit wary of spreading germs as well. And I think if you are, you know, just going about your normal business, to some degree it's going to be difficult because you can't sort of wrap yourself in a bubble, can you? Sort of go out into the world. But, you know, washing your hands, you know, just being wary that if you're in a sort of a crowded area, that if anyone's sort of coughing or so, keep a bit of distance, and that are pretty good sort of indications of what to do.
Cool. And I think the thing is, sing the song Happy Birthday while you're washing your hands, and that's as long as you're supposed to wash your hands for the whole
time. Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, we do that every day, mate, in our clinic.
It's always someone's birthday. All right, Lane, we'll leave it there. We appreciate your time and advice this morning. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Doc.
No worries. Have a good weekend.
Ruined It's resident doctor, Dr. Lane Hinchcliffe.